The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Steve Cowan.
Ah, he got it fixed. He got it fixed. Congratulations,
thank
John.
Thank you.
Well done. Your job. Well done. You actually managed to do something during the week. Well done. So it is the Big Scottish Football Podcast, and I'm Stephen Mill, and he is Steve Cowan. How are you doing, Steve?
I'm very well, thank you. Really looking forward to this.
Oh, so am I. Lots to chat about. The football is back. Producer John, you have been in London at the weekend. Away seeing Oasis. How are you feeling this morning?
A very, very rough after watching Oasis. And, of course, the mighty Falkirk Bairns back in the Scottish Premiership.
Fortunate Falkirk back with a vengeance after yesterday. So, listen, thank you so much for all the feedback on last week's show. I know it's a little bit of a change for you, and you'll get used to it. It's fine. Today is the first proper podcast of the season. We've got all the usual stuff. We've got a couple of brand new games and stuff as well. Steve, I know you're looking forward to it.
I love the games, love the quizzes. You know I'm very competitive, and there better be no cheating.
No, no cheating, absolutely no cheating. And I know you're very competitive as well. But listen, we had so much feedback on last week's
show. I just say, Stephen, I've got to thank the thousands and thousands of people who messaged me, emailed me saying, brilliant show, love it, and can't wait for the next one. So thank you very much, everybody.
No, listen, there was so many people. In fact, I think you're going to read out some of the best, some of the top messages.
Yeah.
I think we might have some music for this as well. So, I mean, because some of this, it can be quite hurtful, Steve, let's be honest.
I don't think so at all. I think the people who have taken time to message in, I thank them.
Yeah.
I salute them.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's brilliant. So would you like me to start?
Yeah, let's start. Well, let's start with Fraser.
Fraser, I just don't see how Steve Cowan suits the style of the podcast or the audience. Well, what kind of style are you looking for? I haven't any opinion on his punditry, but I think he suits BBC Sports sound type where he's asked for basic football opinion.
What Fraser doesn't actually know is you've been on BBC Sports Sound. You were on BBC Sports Sound for years and then got pumped.
I was on them for 10 years and got relegated.
That's why he's here. Who else have we got?
What about Bunt 27?
Okay.
Standard G and A chart and Muller. What does G and A mean?
I don't know, actually, to be honest.
Okay, anyway. Seventh in the world for chances created for players under 19. His stats are incredible. FUD. Me, I'm a FUD. That must be me.
Yeah.
Has watched him play against Celtic twice and decided that's him done.
Lots of feedback on Lennon Miller. Lots of feedback on Lennon, which is fine. And you know what? Like, I disagreed with you last week.
I
think Lennon Miller is...
But here's the thing, though.
An outstanding prospect.
Muller didn't play against Rangers at the weekend.
He didn't.
And Motherwell were a far better team. They should have scored about 5 or 6 goals. Rangers were lucky to get out with a point.
Or...
Without Miller.
Or, if they had Miller, they definitely would have won.
I think they'd have got beat.
Okay, right. Fair enough.
Anyway, Gordon.
Yeah.
Steve Cowan would be a good as a stand-in every now and again. Oh, please, Stephen, going to keep me. But can't see barrier between them lasting too long. Banter, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Better plan would have been to draft in the sweaty octopus. Can you come, John, they like you?
Yes!
As a co-host.
No.
And get a better producer.
All right, okay.
So you could be a good pundit, but you're a rotten producer.
Brilliant. See, that's like the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away there, John. You know, you were all happy because you were thinking, oh, people want me as co-host, but it's actually because you're a shite producer.
I thought I was going to get a bump in wages for a minute.
Let's move on to Chris. We'll skip the Lennon Miller stuff because we've done that, but I can go back to it.
Yeah, exactly.
Chris, so Steve Cowan hates Scottish football. I love Scottish football. I was part of it for so many years. Why would I hate it? By giving an honest prediction about who's no good, who's rotten, who ain't going to cut it.
Okay. Well, listen.
Stacey. John will like this. Stacey. Falkirk don't have any pace. I'll wait and boil your head if you think that.
I think there's a wee bit of truth in that there. You saw that in the Dundee United game yesterday. You
have no pace at the back. Yeah. You saw that?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Let's get on to Charles. I like this.
This bespectacled fella.
Bespectacled.
Bespectacled fella is a balloon. Don't even know who he is. Now, all the social media people out there, you might not have heard of me, but if you Google me, which he would have done, I know Charles would have Googled me before putting this out to say that he doesn't know who I am. He's absolutely clueless about football.
Well, I mean, I often think that about you. And you are bespectacled, so he knows that.
This is my favourite one.
Okay, right. Who's this from?
This is from Hugh.
Right, okay.
Hugh says, Steve Cowan looks like you, Kevin.
I think. I mean, Hugh's got a good 10 or so years on you. A dozen years, maybe. He's older than you.
I'll take that as a compliment.
Thank you, Hugh. Hugh's a good looking guy.
Yeah. Where are we? Mark. This show sucked.
A strong start.
There isn't just the natural chemistry that Ewan and Stephen had, plus Steve Cowan is good at talking football. Thank you very much for that, Mark. But all the personality of a brush. Is that Basil?
Yeah, I mean, again, there's some contradictory things here, because some people are saying that you don't know what you're talking about, but then Mark says Steve Cowan is good at talking about football,
yeah,
but you have the personality of a brush.
Basil brush. Yeah, but that's okay.
What about Ross?
Ross. You chose the wrong Cowan.
So, wait a minute. What other Cowans? Wait a minute. I'm going to say famous people with... Obviously, there's Tam Cowan, right? But let's be honest, we can't afford him.
No.
Famous people with second name Cowan. Who we got here? Australian cricketer, Ed Cowan.
Never heard of him.
Well, you can Google him.
I will Google him.
Okay.
Hold on.
Ed Cowan. We've also got Edith Cowan, a pioneering figure in Australian history. We're getting a lot of Australians here. She was the first woman to be elected to the Australian Parliament.
A lot of Cowans get sent to Australia.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. That says everything about your stock.
Yes.
Easton Cowan is a young Canadian ice hockey player currently making waves in the sport.
Easton.
Easton Cowan. Yeah,
so there's good ones.
So, and what about Alex?
Well, this was Alex, and this is part of the thousands who messaged in to say, brilliant, well done, keep it up. Yeah. What a breath of fresh air Steve Cowan is. Welcome to the podcast, mate. Like that. I'm definitely going to enjoy your opinions every Monday. Good riddance to Ewan. I would agree with that. Mm-hmm. He clearly wanted to jump ship where the big bucks are and clearly needs the cash. He's spot on about Ewan, isn't he?
That's what happened.
Brilliant feedback. Thanks so much, everybody.
So,
hey, well done. Thank you.
So, keep your opinions, keep your tweets, keep your messages on YouTube coming in as well. You can always leave your comments there. And it's at Big Football Scott for all the latest tweets as well. How was your weekend? Was it just football filled, I guess?
Yeah, football filled. Watching a lot of football over the weekend. And it was good to see it back. I mean, you do miss it. You struggle.
What did you have for your tea on Saturday night?
What did I have my tea? We went for the Thai.
All right, okay, right.
Thai meal. As you know, I normally rotate it.
Well, people who listen to the Big Scottish Football Show in the past might know this. You have a sort of rotation on a Saturday night, don't you?
So it
was Thai, and I don't know what John's... If you're watching on YouTube, John's clearly trying to recreate some sort of rave here in the background there. Something like that. But anyway, yeah, so you have a rotation. So what's on the rotation? You've got Thai.
So you've got Thai, you have Indian, mm-hmm. you have Chinese,
yeah, mm-hmm.
you have Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Uh-huh.
KFC.
Yeah.
You have Chippy.
Chippy. Yeah. McDonald's.
McDonald's is in there as well. So
this is every Saturday night.
Burger King's not there because the one next to us closed down.
Right, okay.
And it's now a Costa Coffee or something.
Right, okay. You wouldn't go there for your tea on Saturday.
So that's a 6 or 7 that you would go for.
And what did you go from the Thai on Saturday night?
The Thai, we went for 3 starters.
Right.
There's only 2 is.
Right, okay.
So it's prawn twins.
Okay.
The chicken satay.
Okay, yeah.
And the dumplings.
Okay, the dumplings.
Well, it's the prawn and all that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
One curry.
Mm-hmm.
Red Thai curry.
Yeah.
Jasmine rice.
Yeah.
And off we go.
Off you go.
Brilliant.
Good stuff. Producer John, I'm guessing eating wasn't high up on the agenda for you at the weekend.
No,
it was mostly liquid intake.
I didn't eat a lot at the weekend, and I'm really feeling it tonight. I'm really high in steam. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm an old man. I'm 44 years old. Like 2 or 3 nights on the sauce, like, and just can't handle it.
By the way, you're totally right. See, when I get like second night on it, and the third day, I'm ready for phoning the Samaritans.
I'm actually sweating. It's horrible.
Oh, you're not the same when you were back in your 20s.
No.
Or teens.
No,
you can handle it then.
See, when you were playing, Steve, right? Obviously, it's different now. Like, footballers generally look after themselves a lot better than what they did in your day.
Yeah.
But were you out, like, so when you were in Aberdeen, right? Uh-huh. So you're a Glasgow boy, or East Kilbride you were from. Went up to Aberdeen.
Glasgow.
And then, what days were you out during the week?
None.
Why?
Terrified of Alec Ferguson.
Okay.
Absolutely terrified. So he had contacts in every door. He had contacts in every pub.
Mm-hmm.
And they would all grassing you if they seen you bouncing around. And plus, the older boys would have just took you behind a shed and battered you.
Right, okay.
If you were seen out and about. They didn't even do it either.
Oh, really? So even after a game on a Saturday? Not even...
Oh, on a Saturday. Ah, sorry. Monday to Friday, zero.
Right, okay.
Saturday, then, he'd come up to you and he'd say, what are you doing tonight? You going out? No. Honestly. Or he'd be saying, you'd babysitting tonight. So your plan's on place. Mm-hmm. About going out, having a few drinks, going to the dancing, doing what you were going to do. And he'd say, you're babysitting for me. So I remember at 17, 16, 17, babysitting for him. Now, as you know, Sir Alex has got three sons.
Yeah.
Couple of twins in there. Mm-hmm. Nightmare.
Yeah.
Nightmare. They were fighting.
Who was the worst?
Was it Mark? I think it was Mark.
Is it Mark, Jason, Darren? And Darren?
Aye, but they were all just fighting all the time. And I'm sitting there at 16, 17 saying, what did I do?
So you had to babysit. Basically, you were Alex Ferguson's babysitter. Well, he went out and got pissed.
He went and got pissed. Him and Archie Knox, who was assistant for a long time.
Yeah.
But I also did babysitting for Pat Stanton, the great Hibs legend.
Okay.
So it just used you. It just used you. And you get paid nothing.
I was going to say, I was like, did you get paid for this?
Paid nothing apart from, you know, I won't try and do his, but, you know, bloody well done. That's good. Bloody same Monday. Yeah. Bloody, better been bloody time, yeah, buddy. And off you went. And that was it. It was terrible. It was just abuse.
Right. Okay. But surely you got out occasionally.
Oh, well, you didn't need a babysitter. I mean, he couldn't go.
Right, okay.
Then that was, you were okay. But then you had to sneak out. I can remember sneaking around Aberdeen Town Centre. And even the older players, I remember the Willie Mullars and, you know, the Strachans people, like, all creeping around, looking around corners. And Fergie had this distinctive...
Oh, he's got a tick, hasn't he? Yeah.
And you could hear it, and you could hear him coming down one of the streets. He used to go to Happy Valley. That's where he went, Happy Valley.
Right, okay.
And the dancing was right next to Happy Valley where we'd go to Fusion.
Right,
it's called the Fusion. Anybody who's Aberdonian or Aberdeen would know the Fusion.
Yep.
And you'd try to get in there and you'd be sort of standing like that because he'd be floating around.
Aye.
Try to get you. It was torture.
Did you ever get caught from him when you were out?
No.
Right.
No, because we learned where he went and... Would he go?
And try and avoid it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Well, I mean, it was only that for me and John. We just went out and got steaming. Like, that's pretty much what it is. And that's what John did at the weekend. And I hope you had a good weekend at Oasis. Were they good, by the way?
By the way, anyone going to see Oasis at Murrayfield this weekend? I cannot believe how good they were. Just amazing. Just, it was such an amazing atmosphere. And it's all people
I've seen the, like, pictures and, like, the crowd, like, jump up and down on the rest of it, which normally doesn't happen at a gig at Wembley.
I was raging, though, because, like, when Richard Ashcroft finished, I went, I'll go up and get a double round, because you've got to double up because the queues are mental and all that sort of stuff.
Was so it dear?
£30 for a two.
How,
like,
much?
Four rum and cokes was about £32, Steve, right? So there you go, thought double up, into the pint glasses, here we go. Obviously my mate, try to find him at Wembley, it's a nightmare. Are you next to the pink flamenco? Tell me, are you next to the... And just try to find him. So anyway, walking back, you know, it kicks off, there's fucking in the bushes going on, there's Aquarius, there's Hello and stuff like that. There's me, two pints of rum and coke, wandering across, and I found the only mosh pit in Wembley Stadium. Bang! Both of the rum and cokes flew out my hand. My wallet flew out my hand, and I have to say, I got my wallet back as
not
well.
Bad.
I could not believe it.
Not
but you're in for some time if you're going to the gig.
Okay, yeah, have fun. They're in Scotland on Friday.
Yeah,
I think Friday, Saturday. So, yeah, have fun, and John survived, which is good. Right, let's get to some of the football then, and some of the stories from the last week. Obviously, there was a few sides in European action. First of all, Rangers getting through against Panathinaikos with a draw. Now, I think even Rangers fans would admit it could have gone a different way, but they dug in and they managed to get out. And to be fair, absolutely cracking goal, cracking equaliser, really good finish. And that means they're through to play Victoria Pilsen in the next round of the Champions League qualifiers. Will they get through, Steve?
I think they will. I think if you look at the last couple of years, Rangers are built for the European competitions. Now, I know there's been some new players come in and they're looking to get some others. And I know they could have lost that game heavily, but they got through.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what cup football's like. Just get through and worry about how you're going to play later on.
So Victoria Pilsen finished second in the Czech
League. Rangers will be disappointed, Stephen, if they don't beat them.
Yeah, well, listen, I think you're writing them off a wee bit. I don't think Victoria Pilsen are a bad side.
They got
to the last 16 in the Europa League last season as well. Lazio beat them by the odd goal. So they're not diddies.
No.
I think this is going to be a tough tie. However, I agree with you. I think Rangers should be looking to get through here.
They should be. And, you know, it's like everything else. If you can get, you know, like they did in the first the first game. Get a couple of goals at Ibrox if you can, or whatever the case may be, and then defend for your life.
Dundee United are through, not impressively, against Unnerstrassen. 1-0 in both legs over in Luxembourg was the second leg there, winning 1-0. Again, not a great performance, but they're through, as you were saying there. Doesn't matter, they're through.
Expected to go through. Anything other would have been an absolute shocker, so they're through.
Yeah. Hibs dropping at the Conference League after, Dundee United are playing Rapid Vienna in the next round, which I think is a whole different ball game. They're going to be a lot better than Unnerstrassen, but you never know. And Hibs also down in the Conference League as well. They lost after extra time to Midtjylland. If you didn't see Midtjylland's goals, both of them were absolute screamers, particularly the second one was unbelievable. And you know, you said you didn't watch the match. I watched it. I thought Midtjylland just looked a lot better than Hibs. They had much better players than Hibs. Hibs played all right and kept themselves in it, got the equaliser through Bashiri and all the rest of it. But I think that Midtjylland were the better team and deserved to go through, just about.
I'll take that, as you said, but I think it's really disappointing. Particularly, you know, you've got 20,000 home gate there, everybody's bouncing.
And seeing who they could have played in the next round as well, who are a Norwegian side.
Who they've got now, is it Partizan Belgrade?
Partizan Belgrade.
Good luck with that. Round.
So the first leg's in Belgrade on Thursday. So obviously all the best to all the teams in Europe. But also there are a few big transfer stories to get through as well, I would imagine, Producer John. And that means Jim White's back. How are we doing, Stevie boy? A brand new host. What happened to the other guy? What happened to him?
I don't know. He seemed to have just disappeared like off a dyke.
Disappeared off the... tell you what, he's got a transfer somewhere else. That's where he's gone.
That should be your big news.
A free transfer, I believe. I hope they didn't pay a lot of money for him.
Well, he would have got a huge brown envelope.
I would imagine so. Right, what we got in terms of the transfer, Steve? What's happening? What's on the go? What you got for me?
Well, Finland winger Oliver Antman was not involved for Go Ahead Eagles
Oliver,
on Sunday.
Ollie Antman.
The Dutch club have accepted a
Which Dutch club?
Dutch club. I think it's a Go Ahead Crows. Go Ahead Eagles.
Go Ahead Eagles. Fantastic. Yeah.
£3 million.
£3 million. Antman making his way to Ibrox. And of course, Antman is from Finland, which is a country, Steve.
It's a wee country.
Have you been there? I've never been to Finland.
No, you've been everywhere else.
I've been everywhere else, but I've never been to Finland.
Right, hold on, Finland.
Yeah, we'll add that to the list.
The list, you've got to Finland.
I'll look at the flights. I'm on Skyscanner immediately. Brilliant. But what else is happening, Steve?
Well, Hibs, would you believe, if you believe, this is big news. This is bigger than Rangers news. And a seven-figure deal for Lewis Miller to Blackburn Rovers.
So wait there now, Lewis Miller's getting sold for seven figures. Do you know how many figures that is? That's more than £1 million, Steve. He's up there with Lennon Miller.
I don't know, but it's seven. So, and I can't believe as well, Grant Hanley. Eastern Road.
Massive head. An enormous head, Grant Hanley. I mean, they'll need to widen the necks and the strips to get his head through it. Who else have we got? What's happening?
Well, we're back to Rangers again. Yep. They're insisting. So they're insisting of a fee between 15 and 20 million for
That's
striker.
That's eight figures.
Can we go for nine?
No, I don't think so. For
Hamza Ingemi?
No, Ingeman.
Ingeman. Okay, 1.5 million.
That's what you'd buy him, sell him
just
for?
Just a wee bit more expensive than Lennon Miller.
Right,
I would
okay,
say.
Fair enough. Right, do you think they'll get 15 or 20 million?
I think they got 1.5.
1.5 million, right. What else have we got?
Then Celtic are targeting another winger. They've got 19 wingers.
I'm looking forward to this one, actually.
Well, so am I, but I'll wait. Antwerp winger Michel Ange Balakata-Wisha was going to Celtic.
I think it's Balakata-Wisha. I think, are we going Balakata-Wisha? Balakata-Wisha? That's all right.
Have you been to Wisha? Have you not been to Wisha?
I've never been. We're writing that down.
You need to go to Wisha.
I've had a boot in the Ballocks before. So, anyway, it's all to do with Champions League qualification and all that stuff, I guess.
Yeah, and let's go further up north now. Ross County's striker, Ronan Hill.
Ronan Hill, of course, one of my favourite members of Boyzone.
Roman is going to Reading.
He's going to Reading?
They're apparently interested and they're tracking him. Now, are they following him out from his house? Have they got a tag in his car? They're tracking him.
We don't know. We absolutely don't know, Steve, but I believe there's other teams interested as well.
Well, there is. Who are they? Oh, we'll get there. Luton.
Luton, a shithole. Have you ever been to Luton before?
I have been to Luton. That's a shithole. Yes, and Wickham. And I've been to Wickham. Have you been to Wickham?
I've never been to Wickham. Write it on the list. It's on the Skyscanner, right?
You need to pack a lot of stuff here. You've got to Finland, Wishaw and Wickham. Anyway, lastly, Dundee United are interested in bringing in Lucas Stevenson.
Great.
Back to Tannadice.
Sort of half Italian, half Scottish there.
Yeah, and what Aberdeen are also interested. So,
right.
Should I stay? Should I go?
We don't know. It's up to Luca, but there you are. There's your transfer news. And we can say goodbye to Jim White. Say goodbye, Steve, to Jim.
Goodbye, Jim.
And there goes Jim White there. So that's all the transfers done. Let's move on to our weekend's football. And it's great to have everything back properly. So let's start. Let's start in reverse order. We'll obviously get to the Hearts-Aberdeen game tonight a wee bit later on. You're going to be at it, Steve.
Yeah.
You're commentating at it. So let's get to the game yesterday between Celtic and St Mirren. Celtic obviously unfurling the league flagpole. McStay was there.
Yeah.
And a wee bit of celebration day. They huffed and they puffed Celtic. I mean, obviously, they were well on top against St Mirren. On another day, it could have been a lot more. However, Luke McCowan coming off the bench, you know, a wee bit of luck with the goal, obviously, a wee bit of deflection, but he created the space really well for himself, and Celtic start the season with all 3 points.
Well, they do, and I think that was a game where you probably could have predicted 1-0. I mean, St Mirren, to be fair, all they've done last 3 or 4 years, to their credit, working to their strengths, is making it very hard for people to beat them. So they're going a 5-4-1, low block, makes it really difficult, and Celtic still don't have that, I think, that sharpness. For me, they were trying to walk the ball into the net. It was a little tippy-tappy, rather than touch-strike. It was...
So, in terms of
predictable, Stephen.
Also, in terms of Celtic going forward as well, I've said this before, if Adam Eder's the answer, I don't know what the question is, because he's not going to fire Celtic to the title.
Well, the question is Adam Eder the answer?
No, he's not.
So there you go.
He's absolutely not the answer. And he got replaced yesterday. He came off and they put on... Kenny,
I'll tell you why he's probably not. See if the chance would have had he chested it down and he's hit the post, and I'm thinking he's got to go across.
Mm-hmm.
He must go for supposedly £9 million. You must go across the goalkeeper, and he went near post, hit the post. That's a bad miss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maeda was playing out wide. Nygren didn't see much for him, really.
He's got to score as well. Yeah. The chance he had to hit the bar.
Yeah,
but he's got to take it with his left foot.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you taking a touch in the box? So these, see the quality players, like myself.
Right, okay, yeah.
Would have hit that first time. Not because I'm a quality player, I wasn't kidding on, but I was always taught with the Fergies of this world, one touch. Don't take a touch, because then he's closing the space down and hit the bar. So, it's the first game, Stephen.
Totally. See with Luke McCowan, though, it's an interesting one, because he had a good season last season. I think he got,
seven goals and nine assists,
I think it was. So, like, he had a decent season, mostly off the bench. Is he someone who could solve a wee bit of a problem for Celtic going forward? Because he can play in behind, sort of, the striker, I would guess.
I don't think he can play as a 10, if you're thinking he can play a 10. I'm not sure he's got that about him, because a lot of that time, you know, you're expecting to take the ball on the feet. But he needs games. I think he needs to have a run of games. You know, if you just bring him off the bench from time to time, he'll look good and he'll get you the goal, which he's done.
Yeah.
But I think he's going to have to maybe hope for an injury to get himself in there.
Engels was on the bench as well.
Bit of a surprise.
Were you surprised by Rodgers' team selection?
But Engels been on the bench, you know, again, I know he paid £11 million for him. You'd expect him to play, but is that maybe Rodgers sending a message to his board? Because he'd been giving a lot of chat about Terminado, number two.
Exactly. I mean, that's the thing. Like, you know, Rodgers during the week, last week, I mean, didn't seem happy at all.
Not at all.
You
can understand why, though, but...
He's obviously into the final year of his contract as well, and...
But let me pose a question to you then, Stephen. So if you're sitting in the board in last year,
mm-hmm.
he says, there's 25, 30 million, Trusty, Engels, and Ida, and the jury's out in them all.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're sitting in the board, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I know, totally. Do you want to give him more money to spend?
Aye, and he gets another three, sort of, the jury's out.
Yeah.
So he's under a bit of pressure himself.
Yeah. But anyway, they won. St Mirren, I think they'll take a lot out of that game, to be honest with you. I mean, they had a great chance. Smith, he just, right on the pitch, should have scored.
Yeah.
But, you know, they were so close to getting a point, which is what they came for. And I think St Mirren will be fine this season. I think there's enough in that team that they'll be, again, challenging for top six.
Do you know the thing that epitomised for me the whole St Mirren performance? That tackle by the centre-half when Maeda was through, he was 20 yards behind,
mm-hmm.
and the game's gone, and you maybe think, oh, just let him score and it's finished. I thought that was unbelievable commitment, and that, I think, epitomises that whole St Mirren squad.
Yeah, I think they'll be fine this season. It was a decent performance from St Mirren, but Celtic get all 3 points and get their title defence off to a winning start. Elsewhere yesterday, it was Dundee 1, Hibs 2. A couple of goals for Kieran Bowie. Robertson with a reply for Dundee. Obviously, Dundee, shocking start to the season. We'll get to them in just a wee second, but let's focus on the positives. Kieran Bowie, young Scottish striker, took his goals well, you know? I mean, they weren't particularly difficult, but, you know, like...
Well...
I thought he was in the right place at the right time, did well, stayed composed. I think he looks decent.
I think he looks more than decent. That was impressive for me. I was critical of him last year, but I don't think maybe he'd had enough games. Mm-hmm. He was injured and all that kind of stuff. But I thought those two goals yesterday just, again, epitomised a striker with confidence. He looks big, physical. Not the quickest, but he's getting, you know, there is a bit of pace there. But you're saying the second goal was easy. No, I've seen a lot of players would have hit the Dundee defender.
No, totally.
But he just thought, I'm nutmegging him and putting it in the back of the net. And I thought it was two good finishes.
Is Kieran Bowie somebody that Steve Clark will be very interested in with the World Cup qualifiers coming up?
If he continues that, without a shadow of a doubt.
Like, he'd be in your squad.
He would be. If he obviously, you know, one swallow doesn't make a summer.
Yeah.
But if he was to continue over the next sort of 6-7 weeks, maybe pick up another 3 or 4 goals in the league, oh, you've got to have him in there.
Hibs had 15 shots on goal during the game. Dundee had 2.
Dundee are a mess.
Dundee are a mess. Again, we'll get to it, but just to finish on Hibs.
Yeah.
I tipped Hibs for finishing third. I don't think they're going to be far away. I think what's more impressive is they had a really hard game on Thursday night, 120 minutes against a really good side. They go up to Dundee. Now, Dundee have another good start to the season. But in previous seasons, that's a problem for Hibs. That's an issue for Hibs.
It is.
And they've come away with 3 points, start the season, they're top of the league. Now, obviously, it doesn't really matter.
I didn't think it was as difficult as you maybe said there, Stephen. I'll tell you why. Because of the way they finished last season in the league.
Mm-hmm.
You know, finished really strong, as we know, got third. I think it'd have been an easy team talk for David Gray just to say, right, lads, we were third there. We're going to get third again. Play as you did the way you did last season. Give me that commitment. You've said that by the amount of shots they had.
Yeah.
Boom, 3 points.
Okay, so Dundee problems. Obviously, not through in the League Cup. A couple of really bad defeats to Alloa and Airdrie, and then starting off with a defeat against Hibs. Now, Stephen Presley's saying it's going to take time, but you don't get time. What time? The fans are already on his back. I said this. They played Dundee United in the last weekend of August, and if they get a doing, or if they haven't picked up any points before then...
Well, they go to Rangers.
And they go to Rangers next week.
Uh-huh.
So it's not an easy run of fixtures for them. What are they going to do? Obviously, Simon Murray was out injured, which is a big, big blow for them. And I think Stephen Presley said he still wants to bring in 5 or 6 players, so the squad isn't complete. But again, bringing in 5 or 6 players, as we've seen with Dundee United, it can take a wee while to gel. So big problems at Dundee.
There's big problems in, you know, this bringing in 5 or 6 players is, first of all, where are they coming from? If it's all sort of lower league stuff and, you know, leagues that are not really as competitive as the Scottish Premier League, because I think a lot of managers think they can bring these guys up maybe for England or Europe and they'll slot right in. But as you know, Stephen, and I know, the Scottish Premier League is physical, it's robust, it's quick. And a lot of people take time to settle into that. And Dundee don't have that luxury of time. Now, the Dundee fans, obviously, they were booing after the result of the weekend. Tony Docherty gets sacked for being he was more successful when he gets sacked.
I still don't understand the Tony Docherty thing, to be honest.
Well, neither
do I. I mean, we're going over old ground, but it's that way where if Tony Docherty's 2 seasons were flipped and he finished 10th in the first season and then he got in the top 6 the second season, they'd be like, oh my God, what an amazing manager. Dundee are going to have seasons where they are down the bottom.
Yeah.
You know, that's the way it goes.
They'll always be in that sort of bottom 6.
Look, St Mirren are a perfect example. They've taken years and years and years to get to a stage where they're like gunning for the top 6.
Because they've now got the right manager.
Because they've got the right manager in place. So.
And he's good at, by say, the recruitment market, as we know as well. If you get that wrong, you're in trouble. But Robinson's got it, and I don't know if Dundee have got it right yet.
Fortunate Falkirk back in the Premiership, and they were certainly fortunate yesterday with their equaliser, a jammy deflection to make it 2-2. Producer John, Sweaty Octopus, you watched it in London with some fellow Falkirk fans, I believe.
The volley in London next to Old Street Station. Turns out there's loads of Falkirk supporters in London, so shout out to all the guys that were there. But I thought yesterday, I thought it was the fair result. I thought a draw was actually the fair result in the end.
I thought, despite Sky guy trying to absolutely screw us by making the commentary 30 seconds behind and, you know, making everyone feel like they're going absolutely off their rockers. It was actually a really good game of football. I really enjoyed it. Like, I didn't enjoy the result, obviously, but...
Jim Goodman said that. He said if he was on his couch, he'd have loved that game.
Yeah, I thought it was...
But here's the one for you, though.
It could have gone either way, and I agree with you, John. I think a draw was probably just about fair at the end.
John?
Yeah?
Was it like watching PSG?
It was absolutely like watching PSG. I tell you what...
A carbon copy?
They see the boy... The boy in midfield for Dundee United, Kamara, the big number 8.
Yes,
he is going to be a player for them. Aye. He looked real class.
I mean, that's the thing. We'll get to Falkham just
a second. Quite lucky, though.
But in terms of Dundee United, off the back of that European game, being away in Luxembourg, and both those games they didn't play particularly well in. They played better yesterday, but you can tell they're still not up to speed. And what was that? 9 new signings from the summer started.
Yeah. Well, nobody's up to speed really just now.
Still only one Scotsman in the team, which was Craig Sybald yesterday, but that's a discussion for another time. But I think there are positive signs. Boys like Kamara, I thought he looked fairly good.
Yeah, he did.
A couple of other players I've been quite impressed with. Not sure about the goalkeeper. But 2-2, I think probably just about a fair result.
I think it was a fair result. I mean, it was an entertaining game, to be fair. You know, we're going from end to end and... Yeah, no, I sort of tongue-in-cheek when I say to John about PSG. Obviously, that's John McGlynn's blueprint of doing that. But I still think defensively, there's still problems there. I think they could...
Yeah.
They have to watch. They can't be as cavalier when they're going away from home.
I would point out they still have a number of players out as well, like Ross Graham, who's obviously their captain now as well and has been sort of like a stalwart at the back for them. He's obviously injured. He's not back until October, I think. So they do have players out injured. Dundee United haven't won an opening game since 2014.
Nearly as bad as Rangers.
Nearly. We'll get to that in just a wee second. Falkirk, though. John, I'm guessing, is this... now, I'm not trying to wind you up here, right? But...
However...
Falkirk need to be winning their home games, right? I think for Falkirk to stay up, I think they need to be winning their home games. I actually looked at Falkirk's fixtures... over the next few weeks. Now, you're away to Livingston on Saturday, which is obviously a place you've not had much success in over the last wee while. Then, obviously, it's the Cup. Then Hibs. You're at home to Hibs. Then you're away to Aberdeen.
Yep.
Then you've got St Mirren. Then you're away to Hearts.
Oh, but hold on. Hold on a minute. That's the Premier League.
It is.
So you're going to get all that anyway. So
No, but those are difficult fixtures
Everything's a difficult fixture for Falkirk.
Which means when you're playing a Dundee United side who haven't quite gelled yet off the back of a European performance and you scramble a fortunate draw, that's kind of worrying, John, isn't it?
It wasn't a fortunate draw, Stephen. As you said, it was a fair result, right? I think, you know, you got to win your home games, but I think just for a settler, finding our feet in the Premier League again, I was happy with a point. I really was happy
with
a point.
Well, I'll put this to you then. Livingston... Hibs, Aberdeen, St Mirren, Hearts. Oh, then you've got Rangers after that as well. Yeah. So, how many points are you getting for them?
You can't say that.
What? No, how many points? How many points realistically are you getting for that?
So, I think...
That's like 6 games.
So you'll lose at Livingston, because you always lose at Livingston, so no points there.
Draw at Livingston, we'll beat Hibs at home.
You'll beat Hibs at home? Great, great, right.
And no, then John.
Aberdeen,
John.
Aberdeen
John,
away.
Have you got a rum and coke through there? John, no. No.
Aberdeen away, getting anything for that?
No.
No, I don't think we'll get anything at Pataudry.
St Mirren?
No.
St Mirren will get a draw.
Tynecastle? And then Rangers.
Hold on, can we add up the points? That's 2 points. You said that's
5 points. Five.
No,
he's going to beat somebody.
So you think you'll get 5 points at your next 5 games, right?
That's relegation material.
Yeah, listen, John. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough.
An unfair question. Because it's a Premier League and every game's a killer for Falkirk.
Yeah, which is why dropping 2 points on the opening day might come back to bite you. If you get relegated with 2 points, John, at the end of the season. You know?
Yeah, Stephen, that's all ifs, buts and maybes.
Remember me saying this, that has cost you.
Right,
cost
okay, you. Right, I'll remember it, right.
Against a floundering Dundee United side.
Floundering!
And you needed a very fortunate equaliser to get back in the game.
Oh, it was jammy.
It was extremely jammy. Anyway, 2-2 between Falkirk and Dundee United. Saturday, it was Motherwell 1, Rangers 1. And I think most Motherwell fans will be sitting going, how did we not win this game, Steve?
Jack Butland, right at the end with that wonderful save. I know they had other chances before that, but I thought, what a breath of fresh air Motherwell were. You know, they played good football right for the back of the goalie. They were playing little triangles around the Rangers front three and their 18-yard box. I'm thinking, this is really, really good. The confidence is high. And they didn't have Lennon Miller, so I thought they looked a better team.
Right.
I thought they looked a better team, looked better going forward, created loads of chances, and Rangers were lucky to get a draw.
I mean, Motherwell had 17 shots on goal, which...
tells you everything you need to know.
Like, I couldn't believe how well Motherwell played, but on the other side...
confidence.
How poor Rangers were as well.
They were made to look poor, though.
We'll get to Rangers in a wee second, because I want to give Motherwell credit.
Absolutely.
I mean, they should have won. They didn't, however. But, you know, if they'd said before the game, you'd have taken a point.
See, compared to last year, if you look at Motherwell normally would have set themselves up a bit like St Mirren, you know, make it hard to beat. But they really looked expansive. They were making chances. They were creating crosses. The passing... I thought the passing was really, really good. It's one of those games you think, I'm not a supporter of that team, but I'd go and watch them.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they were brilliant.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah. In terms of Rangers, Tavernier obviously opening the scoring. I mean, what I would say, the Rangers goal is a nightmare from Motherwell's point of view.
Poor.
Because just before that, they got caught out, and then it was obviously really...
there was a couple of headers that were before that,
And then the keeper probably should have done a wee bit better as well. But, I mean, yet again, Rangers, after one game, are behind in the title race already. Now, there's a long way to go.
Yeah.
However, Russell Martin, clearly not a happy bunny after the game, came out, slaughtered the players, mm-hmm. a couple of players in particular.
Slaughtered seven.
Yes, and it was that way where people were trying to work out who it was, and they were like, is it Danilo or Diamande? And he was basically saying, you know, it's easy to get up for the big European ties when you're at Ibrox and it's jumping and all the rest of it. When times are good, the players are fine. But when they need to dig in, when they face a wee bit of adversity, they just shrink.
Right, so see, going back to what I said a couple of minutes ago about players coming to this league and not understanding it, the intensity, the physical about it, you know, the quickness about it. Rangers have struggled with that for two or three seasons with the players they've brought in. And see if they bring in other players who do not know what's required, the standards in terms of the mental attitude for the Premier League, they're going to struggle. And their fans, at the end, I mean, after one game, they're booing. Who boos their fans after one game? Who?
Dundee and Rangers. But, like say it, yeah.
That doesn't make sense.
You know, and I'm just looking at the team now. I must admit, I was in the pub, so I was sort of half paying attention. Like, you know, every time there was a chance, I was looking up. So I wasn't watching it intently. But I watched the Panathinaikos game during the week. I thought the boy Aarons at left back had a shocker against
Panathinaikos. Well, he's not left back, he's a right back, but he's scared to drop Tavernier.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Tavernier gets so much stick from the Rangers fans.
He's the top goal scorer.
But he's the top goal scorer. And it's that way where I actually think...
can't leave him out.
But
where'd you get your goals from? Penalties, free kicks, set pieces. I mean, we've just scored over 120 goals for Rangers. What's Max Aaron's going to get you?
I know, but as James Tavernier, he's the sort of...
But he wasn't the problem, though, on Saturday. He was not the problem.
I'm not saying he's the problem. Of course he's not the problem. But I'm looking at the team now. You know, in terms of new players, we had Aarons, the other centre half. Rothwell started. Gassama started, who scored the goal against Panathinaikos.
Rothwell got hooked.
Rothwell did get hooked. Raskin got taken off as well. Kieran Dowell played the whole game.
Now, see, the Raskin one, that's an interesting one. He looked really, really pissed off when he got taken off.
Yeah.
He looked, because last year he was a bit of the mainstay, scored a couple of goals against Celtic.
Yeah.
But he looked a shadow of himself. So is he agitating for a move?
I don't know. Like that's the thing as well. Like he'll be interested because Raskin's a good player. He'll have interest.
I'd have left him on.
Yeah. Lyle Cameron came on. Looked all right when he came on. Did okay.
Needs starts.
Yeah.
Needs starts. I mean, this Conor Barn, who arguably again was one of the Rangers' better players last year,
mm-hmm.
on the bench as well. So you know the manager is okay. He's firing bullets
out.
But
also, Cyril Dessers. Like
got to play him.
I've said this for like two seasons now. Cyril Dessers needs to play every single game because he'll score
25 goals. He'll miss 25, but you have to accept that and see what the Rangers fans forget. Alan McCoist mm-hmm. would score 30 goals a year, but miss 30. But
he's in the right place at the right time.
And Rangers will win trophies.
Yeah. I think there's big problems. If you're playing Kieran Dowell, I mean there's problems. But like there's.
So the manager's got to have a look at himself. He's got to.
He's just in the door, though. I know he's brought in six or seven players, but they need another six or seven players.
But his team selection, scrutiny.
Yeah. Man, I'm looking at the bench. Like, you know, I'm looking at the bench here as well. Cortez came on, who obviously didn't sort of tear
it up.
They're
not trying to punt him.
Well, they've just signed him.
Well, I bet they're trying to punt him.
No, I think they are. You know, Finlay Curtis remained on the bench. You know,
and after all the plaudits, so he done well. And scored the goal.
Maybe it was because he. Maybe he was tired. But
don't start me.
I know. But I think that that's a really, really worrying performance and result for Rangers. And it's weird. Every single sort of pre-season, Rangers fans seem to be really optimistic about the season ahead.
They get sold a dummy every summer.
But what I was going to say is, I was like, Rangers fans seem really, really... optimistic going into every season. Oh, well, this is the season we'll win the league. Whereas Celtic fans are the ones who are, despite the fact they're winning all the time, oh, well, we're not signing anyone, the board need to get out, blah, blah, blah. It's weird, like,
and
reality.
The dynamic.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you take the Rangers thing, you got to look at this, and I looked at it, oh, the Americans are coming in.
Mm-hmm.
What was it? General Custer coming to save you. Look what happened to him. Look what happened to General Custer. The Battle of Little Bighorn got beat. So these Americans keep coming in, oh, but the Leeds... These are a yo-yo team, up and down, up and down. We've got money coming in, we've got 20 million being invested, but it's all going to the medical team, you know, Murray Park or whatever it's called now. And it's the manager. See, it comes down to the manager. Who does he recruit? Do you recruit the right people or the wrong people? See, if you recruit the wrong people, which could be looking at, you could have Americans and Japanese and all the investors in the world. You know, a FTSE 100 company come in, it doesn't mean anything. It's nothing. Honestly, they get sold a dummy every year, the Rangers fans.
Rangers are still look miles behind. And now, listen, it was never... like. I think there's also need to be probably a wee bit of realism. He's not going to do it overnight. He's going to need time to bring in his own players and implement his own style. Like, he's going to need to.
Hold on a minute. Even if he didn't bring in his own players, Rangers would be expected to beat Motherwell in the opening game of the season, wherever. Whether it be Firth Park, Ibrox, or down at Glasgow Green.
And they didn't.
What does it tell you?
There it is. Motherwell, though, I think... I don't think we really mentioned Motherwell in terms of top six. If they keep playing like that, if they...
Good to watch.
If they're good to watch and keep scoring goals, creating chances, then they'll not be far away.
That was a good team on Saturday.
Right, final game on Saturday, or the first game, I should say. I've done it in reverse order. Kilmarnock 2, Livingston 2. Livingston back in the top flight after narrowly missing out on the championship title to a really fortunate Falkirk side last season. Kilmarnock under Stuart Kettlewell now. And Kilmarnock will be livid because they were 2-0 up.
Yep.
Then get the man sent off, and obviously the dynamic of the game changes.
Yep.
Livingston comes storming back through Muirhead and Pittman. And again, if you'd said to Livingston, 2-2 draw away at Rugby Park, first game of the season, they'd have absolutely snapped your hand off for it.
Totally. And, you know, it just shows you, we spoke about Davy Martindale for many years now. His team fights to the death. Mm-hmm. They never give up. They're aggressive. And I didn't see much of the game, only showing clips of it, but they look to be playing a wee bit more in an expansive game rather than a traditional game and saying, well, let's go and try and win it.
Yeah.
And for Scott Pittman, who I think, you know, what an undersung hero of not just Livingston, but Scottish football, he's in the six-yard box putting balls into the top corner, finishing it off from a central midfielder who normally sits. There's a different dynamic there.
Yeah. Kilmarnock, obviously, a lot of change over the summer as well. We'll get to the... VAR decision.
They did put a point as well, I think, Stephen.
You think?
I think, listen, see when you go into your first game, you don't get beat. It gives you breathing space from Monday to Friday to work the team before your next game.
As we mentioned, it's Livingston Falkirk on Saturday and Kilmarnock away, Easter Road on Sunday. Now, obviously, that's going to be difficult. However, Hibs have got a big game on Thursday night against Partizan Belgrade. So that's not going to be easy.
No.
Kilmarnock, it'll just be about getting the first win under Kettlewell and then they might kick on
and keep their discipline. Don't get people sent off.
Well, I mean, last season they were a nightmare for that.
First five games, wasn't it?
One final game in the Premiership tonight. It's at Tynecastle. Steve Cowan is going to be there. It is Hearts versus Aberdeen. Obviously, Scottish Cup holders versus Hearts, who had a shocker last season, let's be honest. All changed, though. Derek McInnes has come in, won all their games in the League Cup group. Fair enough, they were, you know, Dunfermline, Stirling Albion, who else? Dumbarton. You're expecting to win them. But it's important for Hearts to get off to a good start. Tony Bloom's in town as well.
Tony Bloom's in town. This is another one where we'll see about investments from these high rollers as well. But Hearts are at home, as you said. should be favourites. I know we'll come to Aberdeen. But here's the thing. There can only be one way for Hearts to go, and that's up. You know, obviously, last season, absolutely atrocious. They've invested heavily in Derek McInnes. A lot of players have come in, and they look a bit of a bloated squad there. They kept Shanklin, which will be good news, should get them a few goals. But if they were to get off to a bad start, and then they've got St Mirren in the League Cup, and we've talked highly about St Mirren, it could be a shocking start.
So, this is what Tony Bloom had to say last night. There was a meeting in the Gorgie Suite at Tynecastle where he was meeting supporters, a few hundred of them there, and it seems to have gone down very well. These are the main headlines.
Always does with Hearts supporters when they have these meetings. Well, Vladimir was the same.
So these are the headlines. Assured that the two-horse race will be no more in Scottish football. Third...
Hold on, go and read that again. This is from Tony Bloom.
Assured that the two-horse race will be no more.
So he's saying that Hearts will finish second this year. That's what he said.
He says third should be an absolute minimum.
Don't overly disagree with that, but look, the first statement will come back and haunt him.
And he says, I'd be disappointed if we didn't win a league title in the next 10 years.
Prepare to be disappointed, Tony.
Now, I think, just to balance this up a wee
bit.
Come on. It's obviously going to be really difficult.
It's playing to the audience.
I know, but like you,
he's meant to be a high roller.
Do you not admire?
Is he a poker player? I believe he's a poker player.
I think he's a gambler. Yeah.
Right. Well, he just lost that hand.
Right. Well, the thing is it not good that he's shown a wee bit of ambition? Do you not always say it would be great for Celtic and Rangers to be split or someone else to win the league? That'd be great, surely. And to do that,
I've never said that.
Well, the thing is though, do you not think it would be better if somebody else won it? Do you not think it would be interesting?
Only for that set of supporters.
I think for most other people in Scottish football.
Say you're right, but it ain't going to happen. I will bet anybody, any money you like, and put it to charity, that either Celtic or Rangers will win the league. Nobody else will win in the next 10 years.
In the next 10 years.
If me and you are sitting here 10 years from now, which, obviously with comments, it won't be.
I know, but this is unfair because you'll be dead in 10 years. So that's unfair. You'll never be there to pay out. So this is the thing. I'm going to have to do it through a trust.
Okay.
We'll have to set up a trust.
Right. To split the old firm then.
I want it in your will. I want it in your will.
It's not going to happen. People came and said this for years. And it's been 40 years.
Yeah.
And I was part of that team that won the last league outside Celtic and Rangers. 40 years. 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
History tells you something.
So... we're due one.
No, it ain't going to happen. They're not good enough.
And of course they're not good enough at the moment, but you look at what he's done elsewhere, right? So you can look at what he's done.
Hold on, where? Brighton. What's all Brighton done?
Well, Brighton were in League One when he took them over. And he's now finishing in Europe. Now, it's a lot harder to win the Premier League because the money's obviously insane. But look what he did in Belgium with USG. They were, I think, they were second bottom of the Belgian division. They won the league last year and missed out on a point.
How many goals did he score for Union Saint-Gallen then?
No, but it doesn't matter because he's the person who implemented everything in terms of getting... You spoke about how important recruitment is.
Forget about Belgium. Forget about Timbuktu. Forget about whatever else. I'm telling you the new, no chance. Never in a billion years. Even to get second. But it's throwing red meat to the Hearts supporters... who will be ready to jump on that if it doesn't go their way. Now, they've got a home game to start with against an Aberdeen team who might not have any forward play will come to them. But this, we're going to split the league and in 10 years we're going to win the league. Only if Celtic and Rangers go to the Premier League. That's your only chance. 40 years.
So they may as well not try?
They may as well accept third and try and win a cup. How about try to win a cup?
Well, I think...
When's the last time they won a cup? 2012. 13 years since they've won a cup.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I did see Derek McInnes.
St. Johnson have won 3 cups in that period.
He was asked for his targets for the season. He was like, obviously, we want to win as many games in the league as we can. We want to finish as high as we can, and we need silverware. We want to win silverware.
That's fair enough. But this guy's saying something totally different from what the manager's saying.
So you think he's on cloud cuckoo land?
And higher.
Okay, right. Aberdeen don't have any strikers. Yeah. What's happening there? Papa Gay's away. Dabba's away. Kevin Nisbet's back at Millwall.
Real surprise. I mean, that you think... But winning the Scottish Cup, deservedly, I thought they deserved the win in the Scottish Cup because of the manager's tactics that got them there.
Mm-hmm.
You're thinking they're going to build in that number, six weeks into or 5 weeks into the pre-season, only another 2 or 3 weeks left of the transfer window, and another striker, probably another 2 strikers is what's required, Stephen, but mm-hmm. you've got to build in that. There's no use winning a cup and then falling back into mediocrity again. because that's unacceptable, because they've spent a fortune as well. The man's has been heavily backed. So for him, he's going to struggle tonight. I think it'll be a hard one for me, but they've got to be in semi-finals or finals again, and certainly round about that third or fourth position. Otherwise, what was the point?
What do you think will be the score?
Well, I'm going to go 2-0 Hearts. I think Hearts have got enough about them because Aberdeen don't have any strikers.
Okay, Doc, let's drop down into the Championship then. All kicked off on Friday night, Arbroath versus Ayr United. Ayr United heavily fancied going into this season. A lot of people tipping them for the top four, me being one of them. And they were poor against Arbroath on Friday night. I thought Arbroath fully deserved at least a point. And it came late on. It was Todorov who came on and got the equaliser. I thought Ayr United started really well for sort of 10, 15 minutes. You know, obviously great goal through Jamie Murphy as well. But then completely dropped off, and Scott Brown looked livid after the game. He looked livid with the way that Ayr United played, particularly in that second half. And our both were well worthy at that point, I thought.
Yeah, you're always looking for 90 minutes.
No, obviously, it's the first game of the season. Let's not throw the baby out of the bathwater.
And going to Gayfield, and it's a nightmare place to go if you've not played there.
It was nice on Friday though.
It's still a nightmare. It's still a nightmare. Tight, wee, you can hear the sea splashing on the rocks and all that kind of stuff, and distracts you from what you're trying to do. It's true.
I know.
It does that. So I don't think he needs to be over worried.
Okay. 2-2 between Airdrie and Ross County on Saturday. Ross County were two goals up. Airdrie, Ewan Henderson double, grabbing a point for Rhys McCabe's men. Again, Ross County really heavily fancied. Don Cowie, though, I feel, is under quite a bit of pressure already.
He's in major pressure. That's a must-win game.
Do you know what I noticed as well is four goals in that game, three of them for set pieces. Both Ross County's goals came for corners, and then one of Ewan Henderson's goals was a free kick. It was a peachy free kick. But three goals, I think set pieces, and I'll get to this a wee bit later on as well, are so important in the Championship. But County, they need to be going to places like Airdrie and winning if they want to win the league.
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt. I totally agree with you. You know,
John Robertson's in there as assistant manager as well. What's that about?
Good question. I don't know. And I know we're going to talk about the Dunfermline-Morton game. Who's in charge of Morton as well? So we'll come to that.
Yeah.
But John Robertson been in there, for me, looking at that, I think that's a show of no confidence in Don Cowie, because you got us relegated when you shouldn't have really got us relegated with that horrible last eight games run that they had
and
there.
And then the playoffs.
And we'll bring Robbo in. Now, Robbo was a great striker in his day, but I don't think he's got the best managerial record, has he?
Well, he did okay at Inverness first time around, I would
best
say.
Okay? What's the difference in words there?
Yeah, okay.
So, I don't know. It's a strange one.
Okay.
Probably Don Cowie will be getting sacked in 6 weeks and we Robbo will take over.
Do you think that's what will happen?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I mean, big one on Friday night. St Johnstone versus Ross County, or Ross County versus St Johnstone, I should say, on Friday night live on the telly.
Game.
And given that St Johnstone beat Partick Thistle by 5-1.
What a result.
Amazing result. Partick Thistle actually took the lead. Uh-huh. But St Johnstone, I mean, it could have been double figures. It really could have been double figures.
Hat-trick for McPake.
Two really good strikes. The other one was a sort of scramble at the back post. But some really good goals from St Johnstone.
I've tipped him to win the league.
You have, as well. And Stevie Mallon, cracking free kick as well. I wasn't, like, when I saw that he signed, I was like, see somebody that I would have liked to Dunfermline. I don't know if he was maybe lost a wee bit of space. But, you know, cracking free kick, what a start to the season. And it was good to see McDermott Park with a bit of atmosphere. I think coming down might be a bit of a blessing for them, because they've been, obviously the most successful time in St Johnstone's history. You mentioned earlier on, three cups since 2014, obviously doing the double as well. You know, amazing times if you're a St Johnstone fan, the golden time in their history. But coming down to the Championship maybe isn't in the long run a bad thing, because you can re-engage with the fans, you'll actually win some games as well. And if they keep playing like that and they keep scoring goals like that, then people will come and watch them.
Couldn't disagree when you've said that. I think you're absolutely spot on. The worry is obviously Partick Thistle, who a lot of people would have had them in the there or thereabouts category. Of maybe getting in the playoffs and all that kind of stuff. But that's worrying. That's a worry, losing 5 goals.
That is certainly a worry. And I think with Partick Thistle, maybe they're starting 11, maybe they're 12, 13 players. They're
to be
quite
fair,
strong.
Mark Wilson's always said that. He's not got the depth.
It's depth that's going to be the problem for them. I think Partick's are going to be fine. A terrible start to the season, but I would imagine they'll be bouncing back, although they've got a difficult game on Saturday. I can't remember who it is off the top of my head.
A difficult game, exactly.
Producer John, if you could check who Partick Thistle are playing on Saturday. Then they play Ross County up there. The week after that, or 2 weeks after that, then they're waiting on Fairmont. So, like, they do have some difficult fixtures. Elsewhere, 1-1 between Raith Rovers and Queen's Park. Again, two penalties in this game. Not a lot between the sides. Dylan Easton getting the equaliser for Raith Rovers after Queen's Park had taken the lead a wee bit earlier on. Again, Barry Robson's another one who had a great end to last season, but the League Cup campaign wasn't great. Yeah. There is a few grumbles. Starts Park about Barry Robson, even his post-match interviews and what match he's watched compared with everyone else. Queen's Park are one of those teams who I think we all sort of tipped for being down the bottom.
But they
you know, they looked like they had a bit of backbone on Saturday, and Raith Rovers had most of the game and better chances, but you know, Raith Rovers start of the season, Queen's Park at home, that's got to be 3 points.
See, it's one of those ones, Stephen, and if you look at the Raith Rovers situation, and you'll know that, be obviously being a big Dunfermline fan and that rivalry around that part of the world, they don't seem to give anybody really a chance, a long chance to, you know, embed in and maybe finish, you know, 6th, 7th for a couple of years to regroup. Yep. We were talking about, you know, St Johnstone and that kind of thing.
To be fair, they did with Ian Murray, so I think they finished 7th under, 6th or 7th under Ian Murray.
But they got rid of him after one game.
And then the following season, that's when they had their good season and were up the title, and then they sacked him after one game.
So they need to maybe either hang in with him or make the change early, but they're a middle of the road team.
And it was 0-0 between Morton and Dunfermline.
Who's in charge there?
Well, the reason Dougie Emery wasn't in charge was a personal issue. His wife was pregnant. If you want to Google it,
do you make of the Billy Davis appointment? What's your take on that?
I think it's strange, because obviously Billy Davis has been out the game for quite a long time now. That was nothing to do with Saturday, and obviously we wish Dougie Emery and his wife and the newborn all the best. So that was the issue on Saturday. However, I do agree the situation is a bit odd.
He was brought in to help.
Yeah, and he's also doesn't want to be called assistant manager, so he's head technical coach or something like that.
Well, he likes his titles.
I don't know. Anyway, I was at the game on Saturday. Dunfermline should have won. It was that way where if somebody had offered me a point before the game, I'd have absolutely taken it.
Did the Morton keeping off a great save at the end?
Morton keeper had about two or three great saves. To be fair, Dunfermline keeper in the first half had a couple of good saves as well. Michael O'Halloran should have scored for Morton as well in the first half. However, second half, Dunfermline were completely dominant.
You would take a point away from home, wouldn't you?
There was a couple of boys in the group who weren't as happy, and I was just like, listen, I was like, if we can get points away from home,
great,
and get a couple of wins here and there, as long as we win our home matches, you know, we'll have a decent season. So obviously Chris Kane not in the squad on Saturday, he was injured. Rory McLeod has got sort of tonsillitis, he's been in the hospital, he's not been well at all, so he's out. He's going to be out for a couple of weeks, I would imagine. But I think Dunfermline are still 3 or 4 players away. I think definitely a striker, maybe a winger.
Will you get them in?
Maybe a centre half. I think we will get them in. It might be the end of August, but I think we'll get them in.
Okay.
And I think Dunfermline will get stronger as the season goes on. Lennon was happy after the game. You know, we should have won, but their keeper was man of the match. Like, their keeper had a few really good
saves. Tells you everything you need to know,
doesn't it? So I think, you know, we played Morton at the final game in last season and got beat 2-0, and were pretty woeful. You know, second half we played okay, but first half woeful. Whereas on Saturday, I thought we looked a pretty decent side. It wasn't the most exciting thing, Stephen.
That's a competitive league. Honestly, it's really competitive.
Of course, Dunfermline play Airdrie at home on Saturday. So.
And Thistle have got Morton.
Morton, all right, okay. Right, well, we'll see what happens there. Right, let's move down into League One. League One, I think, is going to be mental this season, to be honest with you. Cove Rangers 0, Queen of the South 2. Again, Cove, one of those teams that
I tipped.
A lot of people tipped for success. Now, obviously, it's the first game of the season, long way to go. Queen of the South did get into the playoffs last season, but, you know, weren't that impressive under Peter Murphy. But they've kept them, and they won 2-0 on Saturday, so a good start to the season for them. Hamilton, disaster club all round off the pitch. However, on the pitch, 2-0 winners against Montrose at their new home of Broadwood on Saturday. And the absolute pettiness of Scottish football on Twitter as well. Montrose tweeted, "New season starts today against Hampton Accies. Hope the bus driver doesn't head to New Douglas Park instead. So basically, Hampton Accies just quote retweeted and said, enjoy your night, pal. So 2-0 to Hampton Accies, and Stuart Petrie still in charge of Montrose, obviously. Inverness, another team I tipped, I think producer John tipped, for winning League One.
Tell me your dad's comments about that.
Inverness were the better team, and aye, by far the better team. Now, Kelty have got five or six players out, including Tam O'Ware, who's the player manager, who obviously would make a difference if he was playing at centre half. Craig Clay is out as well, who's an experienced player. So really young side, but Inverness, you know, look a decent outfit, yeah, and will not be far away. And obviously they started the season on -5 points, so yeah, try to make up that gap as well. 3-0 winners in Fife on Saturday. It was the battle of the two promoted teams from League Two and League One. It was Peterhead 4, East Fife 1. Not a good start to the season for Dick Campbell's men. About a thumping by last season's League Two champions. So Peterhead are currently top of the shop, and Stenismuir 1, Alloa 2. Alloa have had a really good start to the season, obviously getting through in the League Cup. They play Rangers in the League Cup, and they won 2-1 against Stenismuir on Saturday. And finally, in League Two, it was Annan 3, Elgin City 2. Annan coming down from League One, obviously losing in the playoffs. Dumbarton getting relegated last season, started the season with a win, 2-1 winners against Clyde. East Kilbride,
the big spenders, your big spenders,
the big spending. East Kilbride humbled at home by Spartans, 3-1.
Yep.
A nice introduction to league football for East Kilbride, and yeah, I think that raised a few eyebrows. They were an extremely short price on the coupon as well, and if you had Spartans on your coupon, congratulations.
I know some people who have tipped Spartans to win that league.
Yeah, I think they've got a pretty decent squad in there, to be honest. Plenty of experience. Edinburgh City, you tipped, they got beat 2-1 by Stirling Albion on Saturday. Thank McLean you. With a couple of goals. And Forfar getting off to a winning start this season under Jim Weir, I'm pretty sure. 1-0 winners against Stranraer. So there we are. That is you right up to date. Let's go for some refereeing decisions, shall we?
La gente está muy loca. What the fuck?
Right, VAR WTF. Let's go through all the VAR decisions from the weekend. Start with Kilmarnock versus Livingston. There's a couple of things here as well. So Daniel's goal was initially ruled out for offside, but VAR check, and it was given as a goal. Obviously, they drew lines on the pitch.
Yeah, so there you go.
There you are. It was onside, so it was a goal. Right, big debate about the penalty. So, obviously, Kilmarnock down to 10 men, foul on Muirhead, penalty red card. Correct decision or not?
Oh, no debate. It was a penalty red card every day of the week.
There was no complaints from
none.
The Kilmarnock player as he was going none. Off as well. So I think they got that one right. Good start there. Nothing much. Motherwell Rangers. Falkirk Dundee United. Satford got a yellow card for diving, but should it have been a penalty? Was it fortunate Falkirk back in action in the top flight?
Again, probably not. But I think Satford, I think that was his... he was doing his Tom Daly routine.
He was.
On Saturday, diving the
ball. What I didn't understand is why he didn't just, like, if he did dive, idiot, because he could have just took a touch and hit it.
Yeah.
You know?
I actually don't think it was a dive. I don't think it was a booking. I just thought it was two boys going for the ball. And I think I actually...
So what you're saying is Falkirk fairly fortunate to get away with
no,
that?
No, yeah. No, I'm saying it was just a 50-50 ball. So he shouldn't have been booked for diving. It shouldn't have been a penalty.
Right, okay. It was a dive anyway. Okay, Dundee Hibs had a claim for a handball. Dundee in the Hibs box.
Don't think so.
No, don't think so. Celtic St Mirren, obviously, the big talking point was McGregor's disallowed goal. When I first saw it there, sorry.
Pardon you!
It just got...
What have you been eating? What have you had to eat?
I just got possessed there, I think. That was, I don't know, that was VAR. Just coming up there.
Can we see that again? Can we get that again?
Right, so Cal McGregor scores. When I first saw it, I was like, oh, it's hit off the top of his shoulder. But when you see it again, it hits off his elbow. And
he's looking away.
Yeah.
But the rule is a handball.
If it leads to a goal,
a handball.
Then it's a handball. So there you are. Not a bad weekend for VAR. I think they did okay.
Wally Collum will be delighted.
I'm sure he will be. Right, time for a brand new game. And do we have the music, producer John?
5-4-3-2-1.
5-4-3-2-1 is our brand new game. So it's five questions. Five answers for the first question, 4 answers for the second question, 3 answers for the third one, 2 answers for the fourth one, and 1 final answer.
And just to be clear, you don't know what's coming.
I don't know what's coming. It's a brand new game that I saw somewhere else and thought, I'll steal that.
Good.
That's basically what's happened here. So the questions get harder as they go on as well. We're going to take it turnabout.
All right.
So you'll do your 5-4-3-2-1, and then I'll do my 5-4-3-2-1.
Oh, we're not going 5-5-4-4.
No. So we'll
really?
Do it all once. So
you're
they
under
get
pressure
harder.
Right for the start.
Under pressure. We've also got the cone of silence, which is John, don't we?
Yep. Ready okay. I can put you in whenever you guys are ready to
okay,
play.
Okay, who's going to go in the cone of silence first?
Let's put Steve into the cone of silence.
So you'll get
first.
Music in your head.
Okay.
Right,
oh, it's
go.
Good.
Steve's in the cone of silence now. Should be.
Have you got music?
No.
No? No?
Is it Steve?
Who is that?
I don't know. I can't hear it.
Right,
is that it's terrible.
Right, okay. Right, okay. Turn his mic on.
Right, okay. We'll pull off Steve's mic. There we go. Okay. Right, okay. So, Stephen, you go first then. Five, four, three, two, one. Five
okay.
answers, four answers, Steve. Yeah. As I go, here we go. Right, so, first question. It's all based on season 24-25. Let's see how much you can remember of this. 5 players that scored over 13 league goals in the Premiership.
Scored over 13?
Yeah.
Dessers. Maeda.
Yep.
Tavernier. Right.
Should really actually just hit the sound effect rather than do it myself.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
Dessers, Maeda.
Nisbet. Fuck's sake.
One more chance at this.
Ugh, I'll go Martin Boyle.
Correct. There you go.
Excellent. Good.
There you go.
Then I'll get a correct sound effect.
There you go. Right,
okay,
right, so two, that, right, two
okay.
in that round. Okay.
Three, I think you'll find.
Okay. Right. For the four league winners.
All right. Celtic, Falkirk, Arbroath, and Peterhead.
There you go. See? 4 points. This is working well.
Yeah.
The 3 non-Scottish Premiership team captains. There was more than that, but I've got. You need to give me 3 Scottish Premiership team captains, non-Scottish.
From last season.
3 non-Scottish.
James Tavernier.
Yeah.
Is Martin Boyle? Fuck's sake.
And one more.
Oh, this should be so easy. And I don't know. Calm down. You'll get your turn. I'll go for a. I can't even think. Kyle Vassell?
2
points. Oh, anyway, I don't know where I pulled that from.
Right,
okay.
2 games finished 4-3 last season. Can you name the 2 games?
Jesus
the
Christ.
2 highest scoring games in the league last season. Both finished 4-3.
Did Rangers Celtic 4-3? Is that 4-3? Fuck's sake. And I've got no idea. I'll go... Hibs Aberdeen. There's one. No, that was an odd rocket. Oh, that was a draw.
There you go. So you can, there you go. And finally, the longest running winning run came from Aberdeen, but how many games was it?
Nine.
Right, okay. So totting up your score.
So
there,
I got
Steven.
Nine.
The nine.
Yeah. Okay, right.
Nine.
There okay.
Go. Okay, right, okay, let's bring Steve back. Steve should be able to hear us now.
Can you hear us?
What took so long?
You'll find out in a
second.
God,
there must be time limits on this.
You'll find out in a second.
Right, okay. Will we give Steve the score he's got to beat?
You need to beat 9.
He was helping you.
He wasn't. He genuinely
9.
Wasn't. You need to beat 9.
We will put Steve and Mill into the cone of silence, and he's gone now. Are you ready to play the game, Steve?
I am ready.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Right. Okay, Steve, here's your questions.
Yep.
Give me 5 players that scored over 13 league goals in the Scottish Premier last season.
Five players.
Yep, over 13 goals.
Dessers?
Correct.
Ida?
Correct.
Ida. Nisbet? okay, hold on. Jeez, peeps, that's...
Two more to give me.
Oh, if you say a wrong answer, that's...
Yeah, you've got two more, yeah.
All right, okay. Dundee striker. Simon Murray.
One more.
And I'll go for Sam Dalby.
4 points out of five. We've done Steve. Right, next question. The four league winners from the SPFL.
Celtic. Falkirk. East Fife.
One more.
And... Peterhead.
Oh, no, yeah, sorry. Got that right. There you go. I just wasn't expecting that order. There we go. So well done. Right, three non-Scottish Premiership team captains. There was a few, but I need three non-Scottish Premiership team captains from last season.
Tavernier. So I've got to name their names. They've got to be the player name, not the team.
Yeah. Two more to get.
Yeah. cheery me. Pass.
You could have had Joe Shaughnessy, Joe Newell, Conor Randall, or Kyle Bissell. So that's 1 point from that
round.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have got anything.
Right. Two games finished 4-3, Steve. What two games were they?
In the Premier League?
Yeah.
Two games finished 4-3. We'll go for Celtic v Dundee.
And one more answer.
Rangers versus Dundee.
Well done. March. That game happened. And the final question you've got here is, Aberdeen had the longest winning run, but how many games was it?
Is that including the League Cup or just the league?
Just the longest winning run. Come on, former Aberdeen
striker. What's taking so long? Come on, you're getting help for John here. I'm listening to Buffalo Soldier.
Good, so better song than I had. The longest winning run, okay, fine. I'm going to go for 16.
Longest winning run was not 16. Right, okay, Steve, let's bring Stephen back into the room and we'll find out how he's got on. Right.
Do you understand how it took so long now?
Yeah.
Right.
Let's reevaluate this next week. Okay. Right, okay.
Right. It was fine. We can trim a few bits. We can trim a few bits.
Five players scored over 13 league goals in the Premiership. You could have had Nicholas Coon, Adam Ida, Martin Boyle, Sam Dalby, Simon Murray, Diason Mader, or Cyril Dessers. Stephen, you got three. Steve got four. Mm. Goes into the lead.
Right, okay.
Right, the four league winners were Celtic, Falkirk, Arbroath, and Peterhead. Steve, you got three. Stephen, you got all four.
Equaliser. Right.
Three non-Scottish Premiership team captains. Stephen, you gave me Kyle Vassell and James Tavernier.
Mm-hmm.
Steve, you could only give me James Tavernier.
I take the lead.
Steve,
but it's not
ahead.
Over till it's over.
Games that finished 4-3. There was two answers to this in the Premiership. There was Motherwell versus Dundee. Nunny's got that. But Steve Cowan equalises with Dundee versus Rangers in March 2025.
Yeah. Dessers right at the end, I think.
Yeah. And here it is. This is for the winner. I asked you who has the longest winning run in the Premiership last season. The answer was Aberdeen, but how many games was it? Steve, you said
16.
Stephen, you said
9.
both wrong. It was 7, so it's a tiebreak on the first 5-4-2-1.
Right, okay.
And I don't even have a tiebreak question, so
we'll call it a draw. Right, 5-4-3-2-1, we'll be back next week. But we have a brand new mystery footballer for you to guess. Right, okay, so producer John has gone into his back catalogue of former football players. That's the thing. It could be a former, it could be a current football player.
Okay.
That's the thing, it's a mystery footballer.
Okay.
We have a yes or no question. We've got one each, we're working together on this one. So it's a brand new person, John?
Yes.
Okay, and it's been sourced. It's not somebody... that's the thing, we could ask... Has this person ever played with Scotland?
Okay.
You know, that's a good sort of starter. Or is this person working Super Scoreboard? Or is this person, is this person a manager, a pundit, you know?
So what, do we like this person?
Well, no, because that would narrow down far too much. So, what do you think? First question. I mean, we've got a blank canvas here, so it could literally be anything.
Are they still playing?
Okay. Mass footballer, are you still playing football?
No.
Okay, so it's a retired football player.
Okay.
Do you want to go down the international route, or do you want to go down clubs, or have you played with Celtic or Rangers,
the international?
Okay, so have you played with Scotland? Are you capped for the Scotland national side?
No.
Right. Well, okay. Send your questions in for next week.
So I'll give you one more question. All right, just the first one.
Oh, yeah. We've got one more question.
Goodness me! This
goes on for weeks. So we're right. Okay, so never played with Scotland. So that means probably they didn't play with Celtic or Rangers, I would think.
Did they play with any of the Edinburgh Big Two?
Okay. Did you play with Hearts or Hibs?
Aye.
Right, okay. So we could use the other question to go, did you play with Hearts? Because if they say no, then they obviously played with Hibs.
And they're still playing?
And
they've retired.
No,
okay.
They're not playing. They're retired.
Right, go on.
Okay, so did you play with Hearts?
No.
So they played with Hibs.
So it's a Hibby.
So it's a former Hibs player who's retired. If this is Scott Allen, by the way, I'm going to be absolutely
We've
raging.
We've had Scott Allen on before, didn't we?
You're such a lazy bastard sometimes. okay, right. If it's not Scott Allen, that's fine. What? Could be you.
Well, he could be at it right here, right for the start.
So he's got a clip of you going, I and no. I mean, that would be quite something.
I have done the clips elsewhere.
Yeah, you have.
And this could be dressed up.
I mean... If it is
A1
John
A1 technology is brilliant nowadays.
A1
AI
AI
A1 technology.
You can have a guess at
A1 the road of the band. Okay, so
retired Hibs player.
A retired Hibs player.
That's all we get?
That's all we get. So you can send your suggestions in. You can leave your comments, obviously, on the show, everything on YouTube.
Well, you've
got
decent knowledge of this, of retired players. You're no bad.
Aye, but I'm not as good as A1. So that's the thing. Like, have you used A1 for this technology?
I'll never love that one, don't I?
No, you won't. You absolutely won't. Right, okay, get your suggestions in. Former Hibs retired footballer. Who is it? The mass footballer. Get your questions in. We'll ask them next week as well. But it's time to finish off with our shootout quiz. Right then, it is the shootout quiz to end the podcast. And we have the hostess with the mostess. It is producer John. How are you doing?
I'm still here.
You're still here. Right, okay. So it's 5 questions. Same question for each of us. We write down our answers. Show it up to the camera. And
take it from there.
It's a clean slate. It's 0-0. A brand new shootout quiz.
How many questions? 5.
5 questions. And remember, you can play your top bin any point, and that's worth 2 points.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've got someone else to write the questions for me. I've just realised I've not written top bin questions, so I'm going to have to work.
Right.
Around that.
Right,
so
I'm sure you'll be fine. I'm sure you'll
be
fine, John.
It'll be fine. That'll
okay,
be
right.
Okay.
Question
right,
number one.
Question number
60
one.
Seconds on the clock.
Yes, there will be. Okay, here we go. Steve, welcome to the game.
Thank you.
Question number one. Who were the last team Rangers beat on the opening game of the season? Who were the last team that Rangers beat on the opening game of the season? Write down your answers. I've actually got boards as well for you.
Oh, have you?
I've got nice little boards. I'll maybe run into the studio while the timer's going.
Yeah, I do that. Do that. That'd be good. Have you got pens?
Yeah.
Right, oh, good. Excellent. That's fine. You've actually done. So that's two things you've done this week, John. Well done. That's actually quite good.
That could be a pair eyes.
Nah, I don't know about that.
No.
I don't know about that. I actually don't have a Scooby here, to be honest with you.
Well, it's a guess, isn't it? You're just going to have to guess.
Yeah.
You can rule out Celtic.
I was going to say, it's not Celtic.
I don't think it would be Aberdeen. I don't think it would be Hearts. I don't think it would be Hearts.
No, they played Hearts last season, and they drew, did they not? Stephen Naismith, 1-1.
You can have blue because you're a Rangers supporter, Stephen.
Oh, great, yeah, Steve, of course I am.
Thank you very much. Right, so...
There
we go. Right, That's a bloody generation game, do you?
Right, away you go back to your den. Right. I've got an answer.
So far.
Right, you score both got an answer.
Yeah.
Yes.
Written down. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Show them.
Right. Show them.
Okay. I've gone for... You've gone for Kilmarnock. I've gone for Aberdeen.
Both wrong. Yes. It was Livingston. 2-1. There we go.
We never have got that.
Seven.
Oh, wait a minute. You didn't give us wipes.
Do your finger. Look, do your finger. You got wipes.
There we go. Right, okay. Let's go for the next question then, shall we, once Stephen gets back.
Thank you. On you go, John.
Right, he's ready for the next question.
Yeah.
Which manager won the most Manager of the Month awards last season? Which manager won the most Manager of the Month awards last season?
Is this in the Premier League?
Yeah.
That's a tough one. It's between two or three. I'd imagine. Because I think you need to spell it right as well.
Thanks.
Right, I think I've got an answer.
Yeah, me too.
Right, okay, right, no problem. Let's unveil the answers.
I've gone for David Gray. And you have gone for Steve?
Jimmy Tilleen.
One ease is right. And that person is Steve Cowan. 1-0 Steve Cowan.
I was going to say Jimmy Tilleen. But John's put me off.
I put you off.
You talked yourself out. You said spelling's got to be right. I thought he's got it.
Right. There we go.
Have to re-evaluate
next
my
question.
Tactics,
yeah. Question number three.
Yeah.
Who was the Falkirk manager on match day one, the last time they were in the Scottish Premiership? 15 years ago. We're back, by the way. Did I mention that? Who was the manager, though, back on that day 15 years ago when Falkirk kicked off in the Premier League?
I don't know where I've pulled this from. If this is right, then...
You're a Falkirk supporter.
At heart.
Mm-hmm.
I've got an answer.
Right.
You got an answer?
Yeah.
He's both got an answer. Right, okay.
Okay, what are you going for, Steve? Show it here.
John Hughes?
Why are you going for John Hughes? Steve has said John Hughes.
I've gone for Eddie May.
Again, one of you is correct and one of you is wrong. And he's a Falkirk supporter through and through. Stephen Mill. Nailed it. It was Eddie May.
Former Dunfermline midfielder,
was it
Eddie
the
May.
Duke?
Still in the book. He's now a coach at Hibs, I believe.
He is.
Yeah.
The Duke.
Why is
his nickname the Duke?
Why?
Because when he walks like, you know, when John Wayne, you know, the shoulder moves, he walks like that, you know, the big sort of shoulder and the... walks like that, the Duke walks like that.
And the Falkirk songs sing a very complimentary song about his appendage.
Apparently, do they?
Yes, yes.
Oh, do they?
Apparently,
Did you play with Eddie May?
I played with Eddie May.
Oh, you can tell us. True or false?
What do you mean his appendage? Oh, his appendage. Apparently, it was true. I didn't witness it too much, but it was, yeah.
Right, there you go. The song is true. Falkirk supporters out there, the song is true.
Yes, aye. Yeah,
there we go. Anyway.
Steve Cowan's cock of the week.
I'm cock a hoop, that. You know that.
Right.
You get to send in and ask Steve who has a big knob.
Inches. How many inches?
A brand new feature. Yeah, exactly.
Let's work our way through the Aberdeen team.
I'm sure you have, Steve. I'm sure you have. Right, okay.
You'll never guess who has actually.
No, I don't want to guess. What question are we on?
Four.
Drop your comments in the YouTube and see if you can guess.
If you can guess who I played with has the biggest appendage. Honestly, and what an appendage.
Right, okay.
A beast.
Right, question four. It's 1-1. Remember, you've both got your top bid questions to go.
Yeah, we're alright.
Right, okay. How many Scotsmen started for Celtic against St Mirren at the weekend? How many Scotsmen started for St Mirren against St Mirren? This is quite an easy question.
Is it?
I'll play my top bin here.
No, you're not.
Right, before the question's asked.
Before the question's. You know that. Don't try and fart about. I have no idea.
That time?
Yeah. No. 60 seconds?
A long 60 seconds.
You don't really get long 60 seconds, Steve. It's 60 seconds.
It's just 60 seconds, Steve.
I've been in a few long 60 second situations. Somebody says, give me a minute. And...
Right.
You're getting time to. You're
no! Right.
It's not hard, Stephen. Right, here we go. Right, all right, your time's up. Okay, Steve Cowan, what have you written down?
Two.
Steve and Mill, what have you written down?
I have also gone for two.
Correct, both of you. Kieran Tierney and Callum McGregor. Now!
By the way, I totally forgot about Kieran Tierney there. I could only remember Callum McGregor, but then I was like, there was surely another one. So that was a complete guess.
Well done.
There we go. Right, okay, both got your top bins left, but this could be the decisive questions. If you both get this right, we will go to your top bin questions.
Okay, right.
So, all right. So if you play top bin, what does that mean?
That means you get 2 points.
Right, I'll play my top bin here.
Okay. It's entirely up to you, Steve. Yeah. It's a wild shout, in my opinion. But you
right, okay, right. I'll go for the normal question then.
Right, okay.
So I'll get that first, and then you can.
Was
get
that
your
a different
top...
question?
Yeah, of course, it's a different question. Yeah.
It's a difficult question.
I'll stick with it.
So you're sticking with the top bin?
Yes.
Okay, right.
Wow,
I'll go for
you go for the normal question then.
Right, yeah, I'll go normal.
I feel terrible at this, right? Okay.
Is that a gimme?
It's a 50-50 ball as well. Right, okay. Stephen, your question is...
You made the call.
Question is... Oh, sorry, I'm not even... I've signed the timer. I'm not even giving you the question. Right, okay. The question is, who was the first...
Sweating.
I've changed it. Who was the first foreign manager to win the Scottish League title? Who was the first manager to win the Scottish League title?
What? Define foreign?
So, no.
No, foreign's
no,
foreign!
No, yeah.
No!
Not British.
Not British?
Or
Irish?
Irish, yeah.
Right, okay, right. Okay, that's fine.
I think I've got somebody in my head. I've got somebody right in my head, by the way. I'll write it down just in case. Hey, John, can I write it down
just in case, Steve, right?
I mean,
don't mean nothing, just write something down. That's time.
No, it's not. It's 60 seconds. 60 seconds is a defined amount of time.
You're not getting this concept. You need to listen to Steve. It's got this big build up, right? You'll hear Steve.
There you go, he's writing something down.
It's written going like, wait to the build up though, then. You hear
I mean, if this is the right answer, it's a staggering. It's staggering.
Right. No, it's a fix.
Okay.
So this is just a normal question?
This is just a normal question. Yeah, this is a normal
right,
question.
Right, what you written down?
I would have said Wim Jansen.
You would have said Wim Jansen. What would Stephen Mill have said?
Wim Jansen. That's staggering. That's an amazing start.
It's good,
so
isn't
now,
it?
What, 1998?
Yeah.
Or 1998?
I've put myself under all sorts of pressure here.
You've had a bit of a shocker here, Steve, because that's me in front, and you need to get this right.
So I've used the old A1. To get a question.
You can't beat A1, honestly.
I didn't have a tiebreak question, so I went into A1 and said, give me a really hard question about Scottish.
What do you mean,
football?
Really hard?
Because that's the top
bin. It's worth 2 points. That's the whole point. So if you get this right, you've won it. If you get it wrong, I've won. Okay? So it's,
okay,
all,
let's
down,
do it.
It's all down to this.
Let's do it.
Right. This is a tough one, Steve.
Oh, thanks.
Who is the all-time top scorer in the Scottish top flight? Top flight. Who is the all-time top scorer in the Scottish Cup flight? This is what A1's given me.
But this is unfair, because...
How?
Because Steve's old, and he's a striker, and would have... And would have looked at these sort of records.
No, he...
If this is right...
By the way, if you...
Is that the hardest you can get?
If this is right, A1 has done it. But I will have to question
A1.
Double check the question.
Who is the all-time top scorer in the Scottish top flight?
I'm ready.
Right, okay. Right, we'll get cut. Right, Steve, what is your answer?
Jimmy McGrory.
You see? Oh, is that the hardest you could give me?
That's one joke question.
That was A1. That was A1 gave us that.
Fuck
A1. I like A1.
A joke.
Jimmy McGrory.
You probably mind you seen him playing.
I played that front room.
Well
Thank
done,
you.
Steve. Well done.
Well, that's a joke.
Stephen, you would never have got that. So
I was going to say Jimmy McGrory. Genuinely, I was between two, and I was like, it's either Ali McCoist or Jimmy McGrory. That was what I was between.
Well done, Steve.
Thank you. Yes, I'd just like to thank everybody that messaged in, all my thousands of followers on X and Twitter and LinkedIn and email. So, yeah, and they look forward to defending the title next week.
You've still got another 20 seconds to fill here.
And I'd also like to thank my nutritionist. I think he's done a great job. The Dairy Milk, Twixies.
With the Thai green, or Thai red curry.
Thai red curry, the crisps.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the cakes, the cookies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they've really fueled me for that whole quiz to get the brain working to get the right answer.
Great.
There you go. Well done, Steve.
Right, there we are. We're back. The Big Scottish Football Podcast. Thank you so much for having us on. Hope you enjoyed it. Leave your comments. I'm sure you will on YouTube and at Big Football Scott as well. We are back next Monday. And next Monday, Steve, you'll have a new knee.
My second one.
Your second new knee is
working way around the body.
Is getting fitted on Wednesday. So hopefully that goes all right.
And see, when I'm in there, can I talk to him and say, any chance of an appendage?
You can maybe put your...
Can I say, do you know what they mean?
You can put yourself on the waiting list for that. So appendages or otherwise, get in touch. And we'll be back next week for another Big Scottish Football Podcast. Enjoy your week. Remember, click on Super Scoreboard on 7 days a week. Big Scottish Football Show back on Saturday, everywhere else. Make sure you join us then. Bye-bye. Enjoy your week.